This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's A Good Man Is Hard to Find by Alberta Hunter from the album I wrote about yesterday in the Essential Memphis Library, Amtrak Blues. We talked about it yesterday, but I had forgotten that was even publishing yesterday, so I didn't give her moment on the show, so there's a little bit of her.
Charming song. You can listen to the album and read the piece. So there you go. I know you're a big you're a big Kevin Garnett fan. As a player, you were a Kevin Garnett fan. Now he's turned analyst. He's got a podcast. And I don't know if you saw this. He said that Zach Edey looks like G.D. Zach Alcindor. Zach Alcindor. He looked like Yao out there. Just going on and on. The team that he has identified as his sleeper team is the Memphis Grizzlies. Man, I need to see it all. I like Memphis. He said, man, I need to see it all out there, but he likes Memphis. Do you co-sign Zach Alcindor?
No. I've heard it was someone suggested to me Yao Ming. right. I've heard Maple Ming. I think those are probably both better than any, like, you know, Kareem Lou Alcindor nickname I could come up with. And so, no. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Like, he just... This has been taken by a college player a generation ago, but his hook is more of a meat hook. Like, it's not like the elegance of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook.
A meat hook. It is interesting, though. You've pointed out this before. There will be reactions to Zach Edey because he's not like everybody else. Like, he's both good and bad. People will react to him in a way that they won't react to, for example, or have not. The guy who you have identified as your Rookie of the Year prediction, Zachary Risacher, who's your Rookie of the Year pick. You did all your selections. People don't have hot takes about him in the way that they have hot takes about Zach Edey just because he's been playing over in France. Tonight we get Ja, I guess, probably, and Jaren No. I guess that's a good thing to see Ja one more time, and Ja and Marcus Smart as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting a little bit more reps, you know, and with new teammates and new system stuff and all that is probably good. I mean, the most important thing is, like, guys being, you know, how many games you're getting the regular season. And so if Ja Morant and Marcus Smart are cleared for tonight, they're definitely cleared for the home opener. Or not the home opener, the season opener. And it sounded like Jaren, he's also, you know, pretty much, it sounded like he was, I would say, highly likely for the season opener. He's sort of in that questionable, like, you know, take a look at it before you run him out there thing. And so the fact that they're not playing him tonight came with a suggestion that he is going to play in the opener. And so you know, if you're getting those three guys back and you're losing a Luke Kennard, like that's, you know, that's a, you're winning that trade a little bit, I guess.
Right. All right. So you did your predictions, and I'm going to go through them a little bit over at the Daily Memphian, and I've tweeted the piece out. But first, this is not an original observation, but the parity really is extraordinary. How many teams could you imagine getting to the finals? It wouldn't just stun you. It would just like, yeah, if things break, I could see a world where they get to the finals.
Probably a dozen. I mean, getting to the finals, probably like a dozen.
Well, so let's, on the East, you could see the, who in the East could you see? It wouldn't stun you. Yeah.
I think the Celtics, Knicks, Sixers easily could get to the finals. And then the Bucks probably. And then this is a little bit different from my regular season predictions, right. But the Bucks probably. And then I would be, it'd be a little bit more of a surprise to me for Cleveland or Indiana. Like I like those teams better in the regular season than say Milwaukee or Philly. But I think once you get to the playoffs, like the super elite individual player means more. And so I would say, you know, 3-6 in the East. But then you got the whole Miami thing, and who knows? Like, Miami's done this twice before. And so, like, if Miami's right. The seventh seed and suddenly Jimmy Butler is healthy in the playoffs, like, who knows? Maybe you get up to 7. Orlando, I would not put in that category.
All right. And in the West, who could you see getting to the finals?
I mean, Thunder, Mavs, Wolves are easy. And so are the Nuggets. I'm down on the Nuggets, but like if they get to the playoffs and like everybody's healthy and like they've somehow found a fifth player who works, like yeah. So that's 4, and then I would put the Grizzlies and Suns in that category too. I think the number's smaller in the West. I think that's sort of it with me. I know the Lakers have like maybe 2 top 10 players, and typically like that's definitely a team they give to the finals. I just don't think the rest of that team is good enough. I don't think it's going to get good enough. And I feel the same way about the Warriors. I may have a smaller list in the West, actually.
It's interesting because more people sort of point to the West nationally. They point to the West as, I don't know what's going to happen in the West. Mm-hmm. That's a grand – and maybe top to – like who's going to make the play-in? Like that's a – who? How are the playoffs
– I think the 10 seed in the West is way stronger than the 10 seed in the East on paper right now.
Right.
That's the difference is that you go deeper in the West with teams that could have winning records, whereas – that peters out quicker in the East. I think that's the difference.
In terms of teams that could make the finals, there's not more. But still, we got a dozen. It is dramatically different than once upon a time.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas
and better,
was the
50. Right?
Dallas was the 50 in the West last year in the regular season. And Dallas, at that point, getting to the finals to me was not at all surprising. You know, the Heat, I can mention those Heat teams. They'd been the 7 seed when they got to the finals against Denver. And then the 2 teams, the last 2 title winners were number 1 seeds in their conferences, Boston and then the Nuggets. But the 2, like, NBA champions, the previous 2 seasons, were 3 seeds that year. And so, yeah, I think we've reached a point that, like, the playoffs are a little bit of a reset, and there are no longer super team. Like, the Celtics were dominant last year, but they weren't the classic super team.
Right.
They were not the LeBron Heat and the Steph KD Warriors. And so I think it's a little more open once you get to the playoffs in terms of teams that can get through the playoffs, which is good.
So, and you think this is a product of the salary cap rules fundamentally? You think that's what's
Yeah, I think a little bit. And I also think that like that Warriors team was kind of fluky. That Warriors team was already great. And adding KD to it was a product of a 1-year like league salary cap, like mismanagement basically. And so I think it's just harder to keep and sustain those kind of teams now.
So I very clearly think this is better for everyone. But there's at least an argument that the world was better when there was a super team. That some will make that argument. It's not my argument.
I think the gap here is less like the absence of super team than the fact that some of the league's biggest stars are no longer on. It's not just they're not on super teams. They're not on like really good teams. Like if Steph Curry was like, you know, on Minnesota instead of Anthony Edwards, and like that wouldn't be a super team, but you'd have Steph Curry on like a top 2 or 3 team in the conference, right? And I think that brings a lot of interest. If LeBron was on the Knicks, he would be the only superstar on the Knicks, maybe, you know. But so it's the fact that you have some of the league's marquee stars on teams that seem like they're probably in the play-in range.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how TV is dealing with that, but I suspect they're showing the stars, not the elite teams, right?
I think if you watch the ESPN Talking Head shows, I'm sure they're talking about the Lakers every day.
Right.
You know, they're talking about right. Brody or whatever, you know?
They're not talking about, excellent teams that are – teams that are going to be better than those teams. They're not talking about Cleveland and
the Pacers.
And the Pacers and – and they're probably, honestly, even not even talking about the Nuggets. You know, that's the other thing. Some of the best players are international players who've just not captured the imagination in the way that Steph and LeBron have. All right. Anyway, so you did your predictions, and these are regular season predictions. And I was
mostly.
I was interested because they're not just predictions; they're also sort of thematic groupings.
I am more interested in thinking about the teams than making predictions about the teams.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when you have the Grizzlies in Tier 3, and Tier 3 you call, Tier 3 is called, Tier 3 is called a chance to come together, but that's right. Tier 3, and then Tier 4 is... teams with creaky stars on creaky teams. Do you think the Tier 3 teams are better? Like, you have the Grizzlies on a tier above Denver the Suns.
I think as a group, so the tiers are roughly hierarchical, I would say. So I would say in terms of those particular tiers, as a group, I think the Tier 3 teams are better than the Tier 4 teams. But I think there may be a one or two Tier 4 teams that are end up being better than one or two Tier 3 teams. And so the groupings are thematic, and the rankings of the groupings are, I would say, roughly hierarchical, not like absolute hierarchical, you know.
All right, so Tier 1 you can have it all is Celts and Thunder. It is interesting because as Celtics are a glamour franchise, and they're defending champions, but because their stars aren't glamorous, they seem a little bit more aligned with the Thunder than anything else, honestly. And these two teams are different because of their quality and depth, both.
Yeah, I mean, both those teams both were the number one seeds in the conferences last year, and they were the only two teams in the league that were finished top five in the NBA on offense and on defense. And I think, you know, they're either bringing it all back in the Celtics case or bringing it all back
better,
a little bit better. In the Thunder's case. So I think from a regular season standpoint, I mean, they're pretty clearly on paper the two best teams going into the season.
Next tier is the Mavs and the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone's going to agree with that. The consensus is now in the rearview mirror for the rest of the league. I think those are the two... In terms of combining talent and balance and having proven something, I think those are the two teams that are closest among the rest to being all the way there. And so to me, those two teams are a step ahead for the moment of the rest of the teams. And you have MVP level guys and Luka and Anthony Edwards. You have teams that, you know, have a core that's proven something. They both advanced in the playoffs last year. They've both done things this summer to try to make themselves better. It's not crystal clear whether they did. That'll happen. They'll be proven or disproven on the floor. But there's a path towards taking something good and making it better. And I think both those teams, those are teams I feel pretty comfortable if they're healthy are going to be up in the 50s in the win total.
So it's interesting is that you have the Timberwolves here, despite whatever uncertainty comes with the Karl Anthony Towns trade. I'm going to guess, though, that had they not made the trade, you would have not only also still had them here, maybe had them here with a greater degree of certainty, of confidence. Is that true?
I probably would have still had them there. The certainty part, I'm not as sure about. It's hard to say. One through line for me in the regular season stuff is thinking that depth was going to be important over 82 games. And I think they made themselves deeper. It was a 2-for-1 trade. They traded out one like guy who's going to be in your eight-man rotation for two who are going to be in your eight-man rotation. So I think adding Dante DiVincenzo and having him instead of having to rely on rookies, I think is a big boost for them. I think it gives them a lot more lineup flexibility they can basically play like four out around Rudy Gobert now and have like, you know, Mike Conley, Dante DiVincenzo, Anthony Edwards, Jalen, Jaden McDaniels. I think that works. I think there's some hinkiness with the Julius Randle fit that they have to work out. But I think they may have increased their upside and their ability over the course of the regular season. But there is a question there in terms of the regular season offense, yeah.
So you only have four teams in a tier ahead of the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies are in this next tier, tier three, along with the Knicks, the Sixers, the Cavs, and the Pacers as a chance to come together. Your thoughts on these teams?
Yeah, and this is sort of right to the question you asked me a few minutes ago. Where, sorry, I got a dog in the car with me, and she's about to bark at someone walking by. We're on our way to Chicago. We're in a rest area outside Madison. So the tier three is not a pure, like, all these teams are definitely better than tier four. So that's where you get a real thematic split. And I think the teams in tier three have deeper rosters than the teams in tier four, so that's why it's a group. I like them better in the regular season. I think they have deeper rosters that have upside, that have the kind of you could get to the finals upside if everything comes together, and that they all have all NBA caliber, like, you know, perimeter playmakers, lead guards, offensive engines, however you want to phrase that. And then there's other all-star talent around it. There's other depth around it. But they all have a question, some kind of question to me that is greater than the question facing, say, the Mavericks and the Wolves.
And what is the question around the Grizzlies?
There are multiple questions, but to me, the number one question is the durability of the core. The fact that Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, both have a pattern now of missing meaningful games. Jaren has injury history. And then even going beyond that, you know, Luke Kennard, Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark. You're talking about more than half your rotation where there are durability questions there. I think injuries happen all over the league, and to some degree we tend to overrate them in Memphis. Like, everyone's talking about, you know, the injury problems of the preseason, which are not that meaningful when you look around the league. Like, Isaiah Hartenstein's out for 6 weeks or whatever.
Right.
But I do think when you look over the course of 82, what I think is pretty good depth for the Grizzlies is somewhat undercut by durability concerns. And there's other stuff there, too, in terms of shooting and size and you know, you're relying on a rookie in your starting lineup. But to me, the durability thing is my number one question.
I'm gonna cut this short because you're driving. But those are the others. The other questions you would have about the Grizzlies would be Zach Edey. Like, as confident as you may be, he's a question.
Yeah. They are the highest-ranked team I would have on the list at starting a rookie. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll go through the rest of it on Monday. Have a safe trip, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. I did dispatch the Kevin Garnett interview, the clip, to Jeffrey. And the challenge with this clip is Kevin Garnett uses some colorful language on the clip. And so it is this is not a colorful language station. Unless I slip inadvertently, which has been known to happen. Where are we on this process, Jeffrey?
I think I got it.
This is Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce talking about Zach Edey.
Who you like early on in preseason? Man, listen, I got one. I don't know what we're going to call him for the whole year, but what's his name? Edey?
He look nice.
Look like Zach Alcindor out there. You should... Look like y'all out there.
He out there.
You see,
like,
Edey? You, boy, Edey? You ain't watching the game?
I'm watching. I'm watching the game. He drops that.
I knew dunking. You weren't watching when I saw him go off and you ain't hit me. I said, P ain't nowhere watching this. Because if you saw that little stretch he had, man.
No, I did.
Man, he had Miles Turner looking like you and Prince in the backyard. Jump hooking, yah.
Jump hooking.
17 feet, yah.
Drop step.
Turn around, yah.
Dunk.
Lord, they going to, Lord, we've been talking
him
about
him and Jai in the pick and roll. That's going to be a problem.
I like Memphis, man. I can't wait to see all, I need to see it all out there.
Yeah, you know I told
what
I'm saying? Yeah.
I you know, told don't have you. All the ingredients on the side. Start throwing that shit in the bowl and let's mix it. I mean, let's get it now. Tell you, boy, Memphis, dog. Memphis.
Memphis dog, Memphis. Was Paul Pierce watching, do you believe? I think it's pretty clear he wasn't watching.
I think it's pretty clear KG also just saw highlights.
Oh, you think he just saw highlights?
Yeah, and again,
No, I think he was watching. He said, when you didn't hit me up when it was happening, mm-hmm. that's when he knew. Mm-hmm. I think he was watching. He was watching.
Little league pass, little preseason league pass.
Yeah, exactly why he was watching. Memphis dog, is that what he said? Yeah, absolutely. We should get that as a drop. So anyway, KD, I mean, Kevin Garnett has...
tell you, boy, Memphis dog. Memphis.
He has formally put his stamp on the Grizzlies as a team to watch. You can read Chris's full NBA breakdown over at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted the piece out, and so there you go. Fun that we get underway next week with all of that. All right, we got Jeffrey's bets coming up. We got a huge weekend of college football. It just feels like one massive college football weekend after another, and this one is no exception. We will do that next. Jason Smith was kind to mention that I looked snappy the other day when I was emceeing the Hall of Fame ceremony, and that's because head to toe Oak Hall, a sport coat from Oak Hall, slacks from Oak Hall, shirt from Oak Hall. I ironed it though, Jeffrey. I did the ironing. I ironed the shirt myself beforehand. So there you go. And this would be a great weekend for you to get to know Oak Hall, whatever. Well, you may be emceeing something. You may be not emceeing something. You may be just going to church or going to a wedding or going to an event and you want a new sport coat. My God, nothing like putting on a beautiful sport coat that you just know looks good. You feel good. And they've done that for me at Oak Hall. I got married in Oak Hall sport coat. I emcee in an Oak Hall sport coat. I got a church. And every time I go in there, even if I don't buy a sport coat, you want to buy the sport coats. You go, oh, man, that one looks good. That one looks good. And right now, it's a little nip in the air. You got the outerwear, so you head on in. I've got a Peter Millar jacket that's absolutely fantastic. Claire said last night she likes seeing me in my Steel down puffer thing that I'm wearing, which is absolutely slick and beautiful. But then they also have the hoodies and the quarter zips in the collegiate colors. So no better time to head in to Oak Hall than this weekend. Go see our friends. The clothes are beautiful, but the people, they're the secret sauce. Jeffrey's Bets coming up next, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Every Friday we do this. And happily, I give Jeffrey $1,000 at the beginning of this every season, 10 crisp $100 bills. And it's been a little bit of a struggle this year, I'll be honest. But we're back to...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Above 500, Jeffrey? We're above 500?
We are at 500. We are
exactly at 500.
9 and 39.
Damn bookie didn't take our money, we'd be even.
But in our last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're rolling. What are we? Last two weeks.
The last 2 weeks, we have gone 8-4 and 6-4. So by my really good math, that's 14-8.
That's a continuation of that, and we will be back in the chips. So how are you feeling about this slate?
Not great.
Well, plus you're moving.
Yeah.
You got the moving excuse. This is moving day. Moving Saturday. What do we got, Jeffrey?
Well, Jeff, it's Friday night, and what happens on Friday night? Dogs are barking.
That's it. I knew that. Don't tell me FSU Duke dogs are barking.
The FSU dogs are barking. This is just a come on. You're going to give me points with Florida State and Duke.
Isn't that amazing?
You're going to do it.
That is where we are. That is where we are.
Listen, I have my reservations on Brock Glenn. They've been slightly less horrific. I think Duke is kind of a fraudulent 5-1.
You don't just walk into Duke and win.
I'm going to take the 3 points. Give me Florida State. Give me the
Florida
three.
Florida State plus three. I have mixed feelings over this one. Obviously, my son went to Duke, but
it's also basketball season now for Duke.
They don't give a damn. I bet the first time he was in the football stadium was for graduation.
Did he go to the Clemson game last year?
So. I don't think so. I bet the first time he was in the football stadium was graduation.
See, I don't feel bad then.
Okay, Florida State plus three over Duke.
Jeff, we have a system play. We haven't been able to actually use this system play in quite the long time because. Well, for the most part, college football decided they were done with Jeff Sims. Well, unfortunately for Arizona State, they're forced to play Jeff Sims. Jeff Sims back in action as the Forks will go on the road to Cincinnati. We'll lay the 5 with Cincinnati in the fade Jeff Sims anytime he plays category.
Cincinnati minus 5 over Arizona State. Is that the idea?
Indeed.
Okay. Cincinnati minus 5. Over Arizona State. Next.
Jeff, while we are fading one Calkins boy, we're supporting another.
Go Cats.
Wisconsin got Penn State on deck. Couldn't have looked better.
Wisconsin's figured things out, man.
Don't do this. More importantly, though, Northwestern's figured things out. And most importantly, what they figured out is Mike Wright stinks. Don't play him at quarterback. Their offense has been completely functional. I am a little bit worried that this is...
Somewhat of an overreaction to how Northwestern looked,
but Northwestern didn't look any better than Wisconsin did against Rutgers. And Rutgers, they were wildly injured. Also, Wisconsin's got Penn State on deck. Look ahead spot. Give me the Cats. I'll take 8 points.
Northwestern plus 8 over Wisconsin. Go Cats. Next.
Jeff, we all love fairy tales, don't we?
I love a fairy tale. Yeah.
They're awesome.
Love a fairy tale. I'm full, all of them. Snow White.
Well, one of my favorite fairy tales is Cinderella.
Cinderella's another.
And yep. you know what the happy ending is? When the clock strikes midnight. Let's go all the way.
What does
to
happen?
Hold on, Indiana.
Wait a second. What happened? So the clock strikes midnight, and then the coach turns back into a pumpkin.
Cinderella turns back into a pumpkin.
And then what happens? Well, there's something that happens after that. Does she go racing home? What happens?
No, that's for the end of the movie.
That is not the end of the movie.
It's the end of the movie.
He finds the slipper, He finds the shoe because she went racing out.
He finds the shoe. You made that in your head. He brings her the shoe.
And then it fits on her foot, and she's the one,
even though she's the Disney version. Yeah. Oh! I go back to the original German.
Yeah.
Because you know how German fairy tales
that's
end.
Fine.
All Everything right, so, always comes back to hey, reality.
Who's your Cinderella who's crushing down, who's crushing?
I want to go to Bloomington, Indiana. I want to go to Big Noon Saturday. Nebraska, getting back healthier. Got some guys back on the line. I don't really believe in anything Indiana's really done other than I want to thank them for their ability to win and to cover.
Hey, Google them. Google them. They win and they cover.
Mm-hmm. They ain't covering this week. Give me Nebraska. Give me 6.5.
Nebraska plus 6.5 over undefeated Indiana. Next.
Jeff, it is the third Saturday in October.
Yeah.
Let's go to Knoxville. Let's have a real conversation. Is Alabama really as bad as I think everybody wants Alabama to be?
Bad?
I mean, they've lost to truly a generational competitor in Diego Pavia, and it still took a pick six, and it took a fumble. But that's their loss.
Yeah.
And then, yes, they let go
of
the rope. They let go of the rope last week, and they let South Carolina back into a fluky game. They still never trailed. Tennessee can't block. You cannot play offense when you cannot block.
Wow.
I know Alabama's secondary has problems, but guess what happens when you have to throw deep? You need time to throw. Nico is not getting time to throw. These two things are not the same.
No.
Alabama still has the best scoring offense in the SEC and the second best offense in terms of yards per
play.
Here's
the thing, though. You saw people have been grinding out drives against Alabama. Vanderbilt was dominating Alabama.
You heard the part where I said generational competitor.
And Tennessee up front.
So, first off, South Carolina was not driving it on.
No,
that was
true.
Chunk. Like,
that is true. So, but Tennessee up front is fearsome.
No, they're not.
No.
Oh, on defense.
On defense. On defense.
Sure, but I'm not worried.
I'm not worried about pressuring Milroe into mistakes.
That's baked into the system. That's why it's only a field goal.
All right, so what are we doing here?
We're laying the three.
Alabama minus three over Tennessee. All right. Next.
Jeff, this is an absolute principle play, and I have breaking news for everyone. Illinois and Michigan is a ranked-on-ranked game. Why?
I can see your point.
Here's the thing. Neither of these teams are good,
right?
But one of these teams knows what they are. And that's the Illinois Fighting Illini. I'm getting four at home. I don't care that this number has ballooned. In fact, I want it to balloon because I still like Illinois. Give me the four with Illinois.
Illinois plus four over Michigan. Next.
All right, so I need a ruling here. Texas A&M's currently an 18-point favorite.
Yeah, over State.
Over Mississippi State. Your boy sniffed this one out as soon as the lines were posted. This is why I am your money manager.
Mm-hmm.
When this one was posted, I immediately went and hammered Texas A&M. I have 15.5 for us. Our portfolio has 15.5.
This is one of the points that John Martin is deeply sympathetic to.
We don't get to see all the market corrections.
Deeply
one way or the
sympathetic
other.
To this. He says that what you do here on Fridays is impossible because you can't take advantage of any lines.
Correct.
You have to pick the biggest games. You can't even pick really you have to pick the biggest games, and you have to do it here on Friday after the line is moved, whatever. But we typically, Jeffrey, you do the Friday line. That's what we use. We don't use early week lines. I think we have to for the purposes of this exercise. Haven't we always used Friday lines?
Okay, so I really want to play the Texas A&M fight song, but the Texas A&M fight song is also a Christian Brothers fight song, and so on game day, I can't do that.
No,
not
can't
on Derek
well
Clinton
do that.
Day. I'll lay 18. I don't care.
Texas A&M.
Here's the logic behind that. Mississippi State's covered twice in a row. Do I really believe they're going to cover three times
Cinderella,
in a row?
Cinderella, he turns back into a pumpkin.
Well, and furthermore, they've covered twice in a row because they've been given five touchdowns. Give me A&M. I'll lay the number.
Texas A&M minus 18 over State. Next.
Jeff, let's go. I'm trying to do it chronologically. Let's go to Arkansas. I have good news for you. Under Brian Kelly, LSU, following a big home win, is 1-5-1 against the spread.
Ooh.
The one was Mississippi State last year, and we all know that doesn't count. Give me Arkansas. Give me the 2.5.
Arkansas plus 2.5 over LSU. They always play close. You look at the scores of the last five games. They're all, you know, within a whisper of one another. Or is it a whisker? Whichever.
Close. Who cares?
Next.
Jeff, let's go to Austin, Texas.
Oh, good.
I have some numbers for you.
I hear there's interest in this game.
I hear there are one or two people that might care about this game. Do you know how many top 50 scoring offenses Texas has faced?
I'm guessing none.
The answer is none. Do you know how many top 75 scoring offenses Texas has faced?
Just because the way this is going, I'm going to guess none.
The answer is none.
Yeah.
Do you know how many top 100 scoring offenses Texas has faced?
Again, I'm rolling now. I'm going to guess the answer. I should be on Writer Than Right Trivia. I'm going to guess the answer is none.
The answer is one. That one is Mississippi State. This bet was spurred by my brain last Saturday. As I was watching and enjoying the Oregon-Ohio State game, I kept thinking to myself, neither of these teams is as good as Texas. Well, that's a trap. Because, Jeff, you need to question what your eyes see. Yes, Texas has been the best team in the country. But Texas, after Red River, 1-5-1 following a Red River win since 2016. Texas has only faced one ranked team in that game. It was Oklahoma State in 2021. They lost. Give me Georgia. Give me the five. Spirit of full disclosure, I'm taking them outright, but I'm also taking the five for the sake of the of the game.
Georgia plus five over Texas. Wrong team favored, as George Lapides used to say. All right, next.
Jeff, this is the, I know this breaks all the rules, but I don't care. This team stinks. Give me SMU. I'll lay 16 at Stanford.
SMU minus 16 over Stanford in a big ACC tilt.
Yes.
Next. That's it. That's the complete. That's it. That's it. That's all we got, ladies and gentlemen. How about Memphis, North Texas?
So I think it's a weird game because Memphis is going to be forced to score.
Mm-hmm.
The number came out and I was like, I kind of like North Texas. And then I started digging in. Everybody likes North Texas. And that scared me off. Because
it's 11?
It's 11 and a half. Because I don't... Listen, do I think Memphis can win and cover this game? Absolutely. I don't... When I don't feel good about the other side, like
If you had to play this, you'd play North Texas to cover.
No, I think if I had to play it, I would play Memphis. Oh. But I don't... But that would be strictly based on numbers. Everybody's on North Texas, and the number got bigger.
A couple of some others of intrigue. Miami-Louisville. That's a big one. What's the line there?
It's currently five. I was tempted to take Louisville plus five, but I don't really trust Louisville.
Notre Dame at Georgia Tech?
I didn't want to touch that game because we don't know about Haynes King.
Right, we do not.
So without Haynes King knowledge, I'm going to leave that because Georgia Tech without Haynes King is not a play.
And MUS Christian Brothers tonight.
I like the under.
We may take more. We may talk more about that after the break. Here's what we got. Florida State plus three over Duke.
Yum.
Then we've got Cincinnati minus five over Arizona State. Northwestern Go Cats plus eight over Wisconsin. Nebraska plus 6.5 over Indiana. Alabama minus three over Tennessee. Illinois plus four over Michigan. Texas A&M minus 18 over State. Arkansas plus 2.5 over LSU. Georgia plus five over Texas. SMU minus 16 over Stanford. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN. Right, we got MUS Christian Brothers tonight. Jeffrey on the call. At Christian Brothers, and of course, at some point they will honor Derek Clennon, who passed away, as being laid to rest today. Memorial service tomorrow. Former Memphis Tiger and Owl, and I'm sure that will be emotional for everyone tonight, thinking of his family and all who loved him. Jeffrey, we do have a nice week. I think a pretty good week in the NFL. Honestly, you got KC and San Francisco. You got Houston and Green Bay. You got Detroit and Minnesota. You got the Jets and Pittsburgh. Intriguing just because all the intrigue there, the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. And then, you know,
the Jets are just going to be.
The Jets are always going to be interesting, at least until they're out of it. and even then they might be. And Baltimore, Tampa Bay isn't bad either. Plus, you got the Saquon Barkley playing the Giants this week. If you want to wager on it, you can head over to FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And if you're new and place a $5 bet, you can win $300 in bonus bets if you win that first $5 bet. Just got to go to FanDuel.com, use the promo code to unlock this deal. The promo code is my last name, Calkins. C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. You're taking the under tonight, MUS Christian Brothers.
Yeah.
How much
offense is hard for us?
How much do people care? A lot.
I mean, it's truly one of the great rivalries.
It is one of the great, like, 64th time.
Yes.
64th time tonight that they will play. And yeah. I mean, when I mean,
we're going for our third ever four-peat.
This would be four in a row.
Four in a row.
Oh, yeah. When I was for the Derek Clennon story I did on Derek Clennon, I was talking to the quarterback for CBHS that year, said all I ever wanted to do
was beat MUS.
Like in life, life was beat MUS. And so there you go. What's coming up next, Jeffrey, on 92.9? Look at that. We got the music this time.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday was a bit of an S show.
Yesterday was like a Kevin Durant clip in which you're trying to bleep it out. Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason Kevin Garnett, beg your pardon. Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Of course, it's Friday, so that means Norton Herd will join them. Blake Topmeyer is going to join us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. It's Football Friday, so of course Tim will be with us again on Friday. Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday. For now, work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.